My respected brothers, while it is the consensus of the ulama that a person does not become a kafir, but he is a fasik, a grave sinner, it is for us to think that such eminent sahaba, because of the warnings that they had heard from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning the matter of salah, this is why they reached such hukum, this is why they reached such rulings. It is for us to think and realize and to take stock, not only for our sakes, my respected brothers, but for the sake of those children at home, for the sake of that wife at home, for the sake of that family that we are bringing up. What type of an example are we setting for that family? We find that it is very easy for us to say that they are responsible for themselves, each of us go our way, but we know very well the old saying that if the father is a smoker, then the son will also start smoking. What type of an example are we setting in that home? In what direction, my respected brothers, let us look at the mind of that child. That mind, that child is such a thing, the child, the mind of it is such that it will imitate its elders. It will look, if it can see in that father the worry for the sunnah of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam concerning his dressing, concerning his appearance, then automatically the child begins to think that why is my father giving so much of attention in this direction. If that child witnesses that when that sound of Allahu Akbar is going, immediately my father becomes, gets up immediately, he's performing his wuzu and he's hastening towards the masjid, then such values, only then such values will come into the heart of that child, because he will see and he will take a lesson from his parents, my respected brothers. But if the condition is going to be like in most of our homes, where no interest is given in this direction, no ta'lim is taking place in the home, no effort is made by the father to go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, then what type of values are going to settle in the heart of that child? Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we have mentioned it time and again, that Allah kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. Be warned, every one of you is a shepherd, and Allah will question you concerning that flock. Allah will question you concerning your subordinates. Allah Ta'ala will question you. More important, it is a greater farziyat, it is more compulsory upon us to see to the Islamic education of that child than to see that we give food to that child daily. So important is the Islamic education, so important is the ta'dib, so important is the teaching of the child good akhlaq and Islamic manners. Nevertheless, my respected brothers, we strayed very, very much from the topic I had intended to discuss. But my respected brothers, we should begin to think about this and take stock and realize we are going through a very, very difficult period. We can see all over the world, the Muslims are being oppressed. So much of difficulty is being experienced. When are we going to realize that it is because of our amal? Allah Ta'ala says, "Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahr bima kasabat aydin nas." That fasad is spread upon the face of the earth because of the actions of the people, because of such the halat and the conditions around us will be dictated by the amal of the Muslimin. If we will begin to correct our amal, then the rahmat will come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we have to start making a firm intention, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. We find that, coming back to my topic, we find in the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylam minal masjid al-haram ilal masjid al-aqsa. We find that if we look at this ayat, the first word that is mentioned is Subhan. Subhan, we find in various places of the Holy Quran, it is mentioned. Generally, if we translate it in English, it means glory, that Allah Ta'ala's Zat, Allah Ta'ala's being is free from all form of blemish. And we find that Allah Ta'ala brings this word in when such an occasion or such an action is being mentioned, which is of a great importance, which is something great. And obviously, the fact that Allah Ta'ala is taking His most beloved Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on this journey is something that is very, very great. It is something that shows the fact that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the highest ranking of all the creation of Allah Ta'ala. It shows and it brings this point quite clearly that He is the Imam of the Anbiya Alayhim Salatu Wasalam, that He is the head of all the Anbiya Alayhim Salatu Wasalam, and together with that, the Ummati of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, automatically when our beloved Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is being given this honor, we also become very, very happy, and we also, being the Ummatis of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will also get preference and we will also get honor over the various other Ummats. Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra. Asra, this word Isra, means literally to travel at night. That Allah Ta'ala is saying that glory be to that being who took His servant, Alladhi asra bi'abadihi laylam, in the night, min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa, from masjid al-haram to masjid al-aqsa, masjid al-aqsa in Jerusalem. My respected brothers, we find that the ulama generally divide the mi'raj, the safar, this journey which took place, into two categories. The first, which is referred to as the isra which has been mentioned in the Holy Quran, min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. Al-Aqsa. The first stage of the journey from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa is referred to as Isra. Because it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, any person who rejects this, or any person who doubts and thinks to himself, how is it possible that in one night or in a space of a few moments, a person could have gone from here right till there, and he begins to doubt it, because he is contradicting a verse of the Holy Quran, automatically such a person will become a kafir, he will go out of the pale of Islam. The second stage of the journey, which we refer to as the Mi'raj, from Baytul Maqdis, right up to the seven heavens, right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is referred to as the Mi'raj, and because that is not proven from the Quran, but it is proven from the Ahadith, in fact Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh has narrated the Mi'raj from something like 25 Sahaba, because it is proven from very very strong Ahadith, a person if he rejects it, he will not become a kafir, but he will become a fasik, a grave sinner, a person who has gone very very far away from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that, briefly just to go through the Mi'raj, we have heard this many many times, but just a few points which I will bring your attention to. We find that in the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, in fact it will be much easier to discuss the Mi'raj looking at it from a conjunction of riwayat, because we find in some ahadith something is mentioned, in another hadith something else is mentioned. If we join this up, basically we will get a picture. We find that the sahabi is narrate that in some riwayat it is mentioned that Nabi Prophet's Mi'raj began from the home of one sahabiya, and in some riwayat it is mentioned that the Mi'raj began from the Hatim, that is in the next to the Kaaba, the section of the Kaaba. We find that the ulama explained this like this, that first he was at his house, and then he was taken to the Masjid al-Haram, to the Hatim. Thereafter we find what we refer to as Shaqq al-Sadr took place. That is again a mu'jiza, a miracle of Nabi Prophet, wherein he says that Jibreel al-Islam came to me and he cut open my chest. That is, he was cut open from the chest right to a little bit below the stomach. And then the heart of Nabi Prophet was taken out. All this, my respected brothers, those of us who are aware of medical science, we will say the person should now have died, his life should have come to an end. But we find that this is what is meant by iman. Belief in the unseen, belief in the fact that because Nabi Prophet told us, it is the absolute truth, it is absolute haqiqat. A mu'min could never ever doubt such things, my respected brothers, because what is ba'id, what is difficult for that Allah who created insan from dust, and that Allah who will bring insan to life again from dust, even if he is burnt to ashes, Allah Ta'ala will join him together and he will bring him to life again. That Allah who is keeping the sky aloft without any pillars, that Allah who is causing the sun to rise and to set each day, what is ba'id, what is difficult for him to take his servant on one night from Masjid al-Haram right to the seven heavens. We find that Nabi Prophet explains that his heart was taken out, then it was washed in Zamzam, and a container of pure gold in which waters of iman and hikmat was brought from Jannat, and this was placed in the chest of Nabi Prophet. His heart was bathed in it, and then it was put back, and then it was sealed up. We find, my respected brothers, that this incident of Shaqq al-Sadr, which we refer to the splitting open of the chest of Nabi Prophet, according to the Muarikhin, according to the historians, took place four times in the life of Nabi Prophet. The first was when Nabi Prophet was 4 years old. Many of us have heard the story of when he was staying by Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha, his foster mother, how he had went out one day and her son saw these two angels coming to him and then splitting him open. They ran home and their mother came and they found that Nabi Prophet, nothing was wrong with him. That was the first occasion. And then the second occasion was when Nabi Prophet was 10 years old. Ulama explained the hikmat behind it, that his heart was bathed on this occasion because we find that as a person approaches towards youth, then we become filled with all sorts of desires, all sorts of inclination in a wrong direction. So we find to cleanse Nabi Prophet from this, Allah Ta'ala caused the second Shaqq al-Sadr to take place. The third Shaqq al-Sadr, the splitting of the chest, took place when Nabi Prophet was 40 years old on the occasion of receiving Nubuwat. And the fourth one took place on the occasion of Mi'raj. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala knows best, perhaps it was a preparation for the journey which Nabi Prophet was about to undertake. Nevertheless, Nabi Prophet says, then an animal was brought which was taller than a donkey and shorter than a mule and was white in color. We find that this animal is referred to as the Buraq. And mentioning the speed of this animal, Nabi Prophet said that each step would be as far as the eye could see. As far as the animal could see, one step it would traverse that area in each step. And we find that Nabi Prophet mentions that he was taken from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, wherein upon entering the Masjid, he performed 2 rakat tahiyyatul Masjid. And also many of us are well aware of the fact that in Masjid al-Aqsa, the imamat of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is all the Anbiya alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered and they read namaz behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led them, showing his superiority over all the other Anbiya alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a difference of opinion as to whether this namaz took place after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up or after he had come down on his return journey. But nevertheless, from the riwayat we find that such a namaz took place, and Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the imam of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The reason why I am mentioning time and again from the riwayat, etc., that it is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif or Muslim Sharif, etc., my respected brothers, is for us to begin to realize that Islam, one of the most beautiful signs and one of the greatest proofs of the authenticity of Islam is the fact that Islam has been protected from all sorts of adulteration. Islam has been protected from all sorts of filthy things coming into it, all sorts of things that are unproven. We find, my respected brothers, that such mehnat, if you have to look into the history of Islam, look from the time of the Sahaba, how much of interest they took in hearing the words of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in all, in looking after it, in ensuring that nobody else, nothing else could be mixed up with the ahadith of Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and how the Tabi'in took it from them, and then the various fitnas which came about, where people started fabricating ahadith, where the Shias are known to fabricate something like 2000 ahadith. When all these fitnas came about, then Allah Ta'ala created such servants, Allah Ta'ala chose such people who took interest and they looked into the life of every person who had narrated a hadith. They studied his life, what type of person he was, whether he was a truthful person, how he behaved at home, how he behaved in public, what type of memory he had. They took all this pains and this effort and they recorded each and everything, and then they would ensure that they only took riwayat, they only accepted ahadith from that person whom they knew was siqa, they knew that that person was pious, that person was careful. Such efforts were taken, my respected brothers. We find that now it is our duty and it is our responsibility to rely upon the scholars of ahadith who have taken these efforts and accept that if they say that this hadith is sahih, that this hadith is authentic, it is acceptable, let us accept only that. And all these various other strange things which the enemies of Islam are attempting to enter into Islam, my respected brothers, let us reject all such things. We find that it is very easy for the logic of a person to play a part, for him to think to himself that nevertheless, we find that even, alright, nevertheless somebody fabricates a hadith and he says that the night of Mi'raj is a very, very great night. If you perform salah, so many things you will receive, etc., etc. That Allah Ta'ala is merciful. If I have the correct yakin, Allah Ta'ala will give me these things. My respected brothers, such an attitude is deception. It is false. If something is not sabit from Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Sahaba, there is no way Allah Ta'ala is going to become pleased and is going to grant us such things. Because first and foremost, once we begin to add into the deen, once we begin to take things that are not proven and we regard them as part of Shariat, then two very, very great harms are caused. The first harm is that when a person starts practicing upon this thing and regarding it as Shariat, then he will feel that he is fulfilling the command of Allah Ta'ala and he will expect reward from Allah Ta'ala, and he will never ever make tawbah concerning this false thing that he is doing. And the second harm is that by us indirectly we are claiming that Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forgot to tell us about this thing, and we now have realized the benefit, na'uzu billah, of this thing. That is why it should be added into the Shariat. My respected brothers, any person, one of us, can think with our logic what a harmful attitude that is. And once we begin to open the door and allow all these fabricated things to come into Islam, then what will remain of the purity of Islam? We find that if you look at Nasraniyat, if you look at the Christians, the Trinity, all these various false beliefs that they have, it started off with very, very small things. First one thing was added, then another thing was added, and because the door was left open, they went away very, very far away. In fact, they went away onto batil. Now we find that the ulama of Islam, Allah Ta'ala has chosen such people with such memories. For instance, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh knew something like 600,000 ahadith by heart with the sanad. The sanad means the chain of narrators. That is, I heard this hadith from that person, who heard it from that person, right up to the sahabi, right up to Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and each person